reflect, reflect, let wisdom lead. This is the way to truly succeed. Pause, reflect, let wisdom lead. This is the way to truly succeed.
Reflect to succeed.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome back to another beautiful episode on the silsila Reflect to Succeed in this beautiful month of Ramadan al-Mubarak. And alhamdulillah, today we do have a very insightful, thought-provoking topic of discussion. And that is regarding something very, very essential and important for you and I to learn about and to educate ourselves. And that is regarding satanic traps, the traps, the whispers, and the tricks of Shaytan. So inshallah, as we journey along today's episode, we are going to be discussing many different aspects with regards to this topic, inshallah. But before that, let us first and foremost mention the excellences of reciting salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this regard, our beloved master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has very beautifully mentioned that decorate your gatherings by reciting salawat upon me, for your recitation of salawat upon me will be a nur, a light for you on the day of qiyamah. So let us all collectively, with full of love, send salawat upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So yes, dear viewers of Madani Channel, we are discussing satanic traps, the traps, the tricks, the whispers of Shaytan. Now it goes without a doubt that every person, every individual hates, dislikes the enemy. And the person, you know, tries their best to stay away from the enemy, from the mischief and whatnot. The stronger the enemy, the greater the precaution to stay protected from him, and greater are the protective measures. Now remember that the biggest and most dangerous enemy of humans is what? Is who? Is Shaytan. You know, from the awliya Allah to ordinary people, Shaytan has enmity towards everyone. And he uses a lot of ploys, a lot of different tricks and traps and whispers to mislead them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned various ayat, verses in the Holy Quran of how Shaytan can be identified. So yes, today this is what we are going to be educating ourselves about. We are going to be listening to some beautiful ayat and the blessed ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now to start off, to show you how Shaytan used a trick on a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's mentioned that once Sayyidina Shaykh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani rahimahullah, he was traveling. And during his travel, he rested for a few days at such a place where there was no water. Now when Ghawth-e Azam rahimahullah, when he felt thirsty, it began to rain. And due to that, he started to quench his thirst. And after that, he saw a light in the sky, right? Through which one part became enlightened and a face became apparent. And from there, a voice was heard. And it said, O Abdul Qadir, I am your Rabb, and I have made halal for you all the things that are haram. Ghawth-e Azam rahimahullah, when he heard this, he said, A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. And he said that, O cursed Shaytan, go away from here. That enlightened part, it turned into darkness. And that face, the face turned into smoke. And Shaytan then struck again by saying that, O Abdul Qadir, because of your knowledge, the order of your Rabb and your comprehension in relation to your ranks, you were able to save yourself. Allahu Akbar. And Shaitan said, otherwise, I have misled 70 pious people like this. But our Ghawthi Pak, Sheikh Abdul Qadir Al-Jilani rahimahullah, also made this trap and the strike of Shaytan, who is the enemy of humans, unsuccessful by giving him this reply. That Ghawthi Azam rahimahullah, he said, this is only due to the favor and mercy of my Rabb Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when Ghawthi Pak rahimahullah was asked that, how did you know that this was Shaytan? He replied and he said that by his saying this, that verily I have made halal for you all things that are haram. That's how he came to know that this is Shaytan. Allahu Akbar. So yes, dearies of Madani channel, we see and we learn that Shaytan has enmity towards ordinary people. But his enmity with the pious people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is much more stronger. And he makes a lot of attacks to mislead them. And despite being unsuccessful many times, he does not lose hope. Just as we heard in the story, Shaytan, he tried to mislead Ghawthi Azam rahimahullah by saying that he had made halal for him all things that were haram. And Ghawthi Pak rahimahullah, he rendered the strike of his unsuccessful. From this also, an important factor that you and I will learn is that no matter how highly ranked and pious a person is, whether he is a peer and a faqir or a scholar and a wali, any worship that has been made obligatory by Allah Ta'ala can never be excused. Now just think about this. Who has the highest status, the highest rank from all of creation? And the answer to that is, it is our Nabi, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was such a salah offerer that no one can compare to. No one can even think of worshipping like him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tahajjud was fard, was compulsory upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And although he is the owner of the Sharia, but he also fulfilled the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember that Shaytan, he is the open enemy of mankind. And this has been documented in the Holy Quran as well, wherein it is mentioned, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Inna Shaytana kana lil insani aduwwan mubeena. That indeed, Shaytan is an open enemy of human beings. We learn that Shaytan is the open enemy of mankind. And to make this enmity apparent, what does he do? Shaytan, he uses many tactics, many tricks. And sometimes he makes people commit ostentation. Why? To destroy the good deeds. Sometimes he instills evil whispers to stop them from carrying out good deeds. Sometimes he causes quarrels, fights, and enmity between Muslims to make them backbite and slander one another. And he doesn't stop there. Sometimes he makes people lie to try and destroy the hereafter. He makes people jealous of one another to try and send them into the fire of hell. He makes people a target of his enmity. How? By involving them in arrogance. And sometimes he entraps people into his wanting others to praise them so that the good deeds, it goes to waste. And sometimes he fulfills his aim by creating hidden enmity in the hearts of Muslims. He disgraces people in this life and the hereafter by getting them to be disobedient to their parents. He deprives people from getting the unaccountable reward of patience. How? By making them impatient and making them shout and scream and, you know, all of these funny things when they get sick. He prevents people from offering salah, performing obligatory acts, and learning obligatory and necessary knowledge of deen of Islam. He stops people from reciting the Holy Quran. He makes people lazy in performing good deeds. And all in all, Shaytan tries to entrap people in numerous ways to make his enmity apparent. That means that you and I, we have to knowledge of his tactics, of his strikes. You got to know your enemy. You got to study your enemy. You got to learn your enemy. That's how you can defeat them. The enemy of mankind is Shaytan. So we need to learn about his different tricks that he lays out for us. Number one, we see that ostentation. Ostentation is a tool of Shaytan. And you know, there is no doubt that Shaytan, he does not allow us to perform good actions. Even if we try hard, right, and do manage to do some good deeds, then Shaytan tries his level best to prevent our worship, charity, and sadaqah from being accepted. He tries to ensure that we make such a mistake in our worship that it goes to waste, or he tries to put it in our heart that after we worship, now we must publicize it. It must be known to other people that, hey, I have worshipped, I have did this, I have done that. Whether anyone else announces our worship, we ourselves go on to make our good deeds apparent unnecessarily, without a shari reason. And we do not refrain from praising ourselves. What is the definition of ostentation? And that is to perform worship, to perform ibadah with any intention other than to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ostentation. So in other words, ostentation is to perform worship with the intention of informing people about it so that he can get envelopes, so that he can get money from people, or people praise him, or they consider him to be pious, or that people treat him with respect, kiss his hand, etc., because this is what he likes. This is what gives him satisfaction. And remember that ostentation is such an action which is fully dependent upon the intention. That's why the examples are provided. You know, they are of ostentation, and I'm going to mention those examples as well. Some of it are, for example, to learn the art of reciting the Holy Quran. Why? So that people may call such and such person a Qari Sahib. Other examples that we see is like to say or write words that show humility for oneself, such as, you know, like faqir, sinful, worthless, etc. Why? So that people will consider him to be a humble person and praise his humility. Then we see to meet people in a good manner so that people will consider him to be of a good character, to wipe tears from the eyes whilst crying during dua, etc., in the presence of others. Why? So that people will get the impression that, you know, he is wiping his tears quickly to avoid ostentation. And then we go on, we see that to say such sentences to impress others, like, I'm very, very fearful of sins, I'm in constant fear of losing my faith. What will happen to me in the grave? How will I give accountability on the day of Qiyamah, etc.? And we see also to hold a tasbih in the hand in such a way that makes people see it, or recite Durood Sharif and other wazaif whilst moving their lips or reading out loud enough for others to hear it, so that people will consider him to be a pious person. Allahu Akbar. So all of these views of Madani Channel, it is good to do, we should, but remember that it is dependent upon our intentions. If all of this a person does, but the intention is not to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and just to show people, then this is very, very dangerous. It is actually a very dangerous trick of Shaytan. Now, we should try and save ourselves from satanic whispers even during ibadat, even during worship. Because to refrain from ostentation, because Shaytan continuously tries to instill evil whispers in our heart. And that's why, just as it is important, you know, to have sincerity in the heart before carrying out a virtuous action, similarly, it is very, very necessary to maintain this also during every good deed and worship. And I know that even though, you know, it is very difficult to think and ponder like this, but it's not impossible. You know, initially, it may seem very difficult. But when you continue trying and trying and trying for a long period of time and be patient, then through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and through His enabling capability, it becomes easy. Because our job is to try, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gives us success. You know, there is an eye-opener incident in which a person saw shaitan in such a condition that he was walking with his finger raised. And the person asked shaitan, that why are you walking with your finger raised? Shaitan said that, you don't know what I do with this finger. You know, I do many, many big things with this finger. People who fight, quarrel, and put one another in difficulties, it is all due to this finger. So the person now, he asked, he was astonished. So he asked, how can this happen? How does it happen? And Shaitan said that the city you see in front of you, my finger will destroy and ruin it in a short while. And people will start fighting and quarreling with each other themselves. So Shaitan, he entered the city with the person. In the market, a confectioner was boiling water mixed with sugar to make syrup in a big pan. So Shaitan, what did he do? He dipped his finger in the pan. He took out some syrup and applied it onto the wall. And then he said to this person, now watch and see how the city gets destroyed. And a few moments later, flies came. They sat on the syrup that was on the wall. And upon seeing, you know, a swarm of flies, a lizard climbed the wall to eat the flies. The confectioner now, he had a cat, right? And cats, obviously, they run after lizards. So when the cat saw the lizard, it got ready to pounce upon that lizard. And while all of this was happening, two soldiers, they were passing by the market with a dog. The dog saw the cat, and cats and dogs, they don't usually get along. So the dog saw the cat and instantly attacked it. That cat, it jumped in order to run away, and accidentally it fell into that pan of syrup and it died. Because that pan, it was boiling. So it ended up dead. When the confectioner saw his cat die, that confectioner killed the dog. And seeing this now, the soldiers, they saw that this confectioner, he killed their dog. They went up to him and they killed the confectioner. Now the family members of the confectioner, they came to know about this. So what did they do? They killed the soldiers. And when the army came to know about the deaths of the two soldiers, they got angry and destroyed and ruined the entire city. What do you and I learn from this? You see that we have to refrain. The story teaches you and I to refrain from fights and also try to stop others from the satanic work. Because sometimes many fights, they occur due to some misunderstanding, due to hearsay. Many homes, rather many families, they are ruined. And that's why if someone does not want to cause fights, then we should not allow him to succeed in his evil intention. If you really do want to fight, then you should do so. You should fight against your nafs. You should fight against shaitan. You know, we must make the strike of shaitan unsuccessful. How? By staying away from fights and quarrels and treat our Muslim brothers, our fellow Muslims, with love and affection, showing brotherhood. And treat our Muslim brothers, fellow Muslims, with love and affection, showing brotherhood, good character and softness. Remember, one cause of fights is objection. This objection is a fight in itself. As because when one reaches the stage of fighting and killing through raising a baseless objection initially. So whenever we want to reform someone or bring the attention towards something, then instead of adopting an objecting approach, we should adopt, you know, a manner of making them understand. Try to make them aware of their fault with softness and do it in privacy. You know, to reform another Muslim in front of other people is like insulting him and lowering his status. And due to that, he would obviously would want to retaliate by fighting. So do not fight with anyone. Be gentle, loving, and patient. Remember, if you want to fight, then fight against your nafs. Fight against shaitan. You know, the extent of shaitan's enmity towards humans can be seen from the fact that although he is misleading people through his various tools and satanic whispers in this world, he even tries his best to make people the eternal fuel of hell along with himself by misleading them at the time of death, provoking them to commit sins and snatching the treasure of faith from them. Shaitan did not have the ability to repent. That's why he does not want anyone else to repent and leave his companionship to eventually enter Jannah. And for this reason, he is preventing people from repenting in this world and trying to snatch, take away their iman, their faith at the time of death. And he tries to mislead people until the very last breath so that they lose iman, they lose faith and becoming deserving of Jahannam. Now, the satanic whispers that shaitan continuously puts into the hearts of people, they sometimes are so dangerous that it becomes hard to save one's religion and iman. Allahu Akbar. For example, satanic whispers about taqdeer, divine decree. Satanic whispers about iman, about ibadat, about knowledge related to purity. And sometimes shaitan whispers evil about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Astaghfirullah. You know, Imam Fakhruddin Razi, rahimahullah, at the time of his death, shaitan approached him and asked, "You spent your life, your entire life, in debates and discussions. Do you even recognize Allah?" He said, "No doubt, Allah is one." Shaitan then asked, "What is the proof of this? What is your dalil?" Imam Fakhruddin Razi, rahimahullah, he gave him one dalil, one proof. And as Shaitan, the outcast, had been the teacher of the angels, he refuted it. And then he provided another proof, which also got refuted. To the extent that Imam Fakhruddin Razi, rahimahullah, provided 360 proofs, all were refuted. Allahu Akbar. Now, he became worried, dejected, and his murshid, Sayyidina Najmuddin Kubra, rahimahullah, he was making wudu at that time far away from there. And he called out that, why? He called out to Imam Fakhruddin Razi, rahimahullah, "Why don't you just say that I believe in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any proof?" Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah, subhanallah. From this also we see, if it's a Madani channel, that we have to save ourselves from a bad death. And one method of securing our faith and hoping for a good death is to become followers of a perfect spiritual guide, a murshid-e kamil. Yes, alhamdulillah, the internal concentration of a murshid can also prevent the strikes of shaitan to the extent that one can safeguard the iman at the time of death. Otherwise, shaitan tries his utmost best to destroy the faith of a believer at the time of death through his satanic whispers. Allahu Akbar. So yes, devotees of Madani Channel, we need to educate ourselves regarding all of this. We need to have knowledge of shaitan. And one may ask, why was shaitan rejected? Why was he rejected? Before being declared as unfortunate and accursed, shaitan, he was beautiful, he was handsome, he had a lot of knowledge, he worshipped a lot, and was the leader of the angels. And he held a very high position amongst the angels. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that angels were created from light, and Iblis was created from pure fire. Now before he became the leader of the angels, Iblis, who is referred to as Shaitan, he was in charge of looking after the treasures of Jannah for 40,000 years. He was with the angels for 80,000 years. He would give a lecture, he would give a bayan to the angels for 20,000 years. He was the leader of the angels close to Allah Azza wa Jalla. That is Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam and Sayyidina Israel alayhi salam. 30,000 years. He was the leader of the Ruhaniyin. These are specific angels of Allah Ta'ala whose faces are brighter than the sun and the moon. He was in their company for 1,000 years. He did tawaf of the Arsh of Allah for 14,000 years. In the first sky, his name was Abid. In the second sky, his name was Zahid. In the third sky, his name was Arif. In the fourth sky, his name was Wali. In the fifth sky, his name was Taqi. In the sixth sky, his name was Khazin. And in the seventh sky, his name was Azazil. Whereas his name was written as Iblis. Iblis means hopeless of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His name was written as Iblis or in the Lawh-e Mahfuz, the sacred tablet. Shaitan, he was unaware of his fate. When Allah ta'ala ordered him to prostrate to Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, he said, O Allah, you have granted him superiority over me, whereas I am better than him. You created me from fire and created him from clay. How can I prostrate towards a human made of clay, whereas I am made of fire? So Allah Ta'ala replied, I do what I wish. And all the angels, they prostrated towards Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, except Shaytan, the outcast, who did not prostrate. Why? Out of arrogance. So the angels prostrated again out of gratitude to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Shaitan, he remained standing independently and did not feel any remorse for his action. So due to his arrogance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared him as condemned and expelled him from his majestic court forever. His face, it dropped down like that of a pig. His head, like that of a camel's head. His chest, like that of a big camel's hump. His face, like that of a monkey's face. His eyes wide open. His nostrils open like that of a barber's bottle. And his lips dropped down like the lips of a bull. His teeth sticking out like that of a pig, and only 7 hairs in his beard. In this state, he was thrown down from the heaven and has become deserving of curse until the day of Qiyamah. And since then, he became famously known as Iblis, condemned, and Satan. Allahu Akbar. And all of this due to arrogance. Allahu Akbar. What is the definition of arrogance? The definition of it is to think of oneself as better than others. And to think of others as inferior is called arrogance. And that's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that arrogance is to oppose the truth and think of others as inferior. And Imam Raghib Asfahani rahimahullah, he writes that to think of oneself as better than others is arrogance. And whoever has arrogance in their heart is called mutakabbir. And we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that may Allah ta'ala save us from all of these evil qualities. May Allah ta'ala save us from ostentation, from arrogance, and protect you and I from the tricks of shaitan, the traps of shaitan, and the whispers of shaitan. Of course, there are ways, you know, methods of saving oneself from arrogance. And we have to keep in mind that the virtues of humility to save yourself from arrogance have humbleness. You know, ponder and reflect over the fact that on the day of Qiyamah, everyone will have to give accountability for what they did. And I will also have to give accountability for my actions in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If my merciful creator Allah ta'ala becomes angry with me because of my arrogance and I am thrown into hell, then how will I bear the horrific punishment of Jahannam? Contemplating in this manner will inshallah greatly help you and I to save ourselves from arrogance. So until then, keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Pause, reflect, let wisdom lead. This is the way to truly succeed. Pause, reflect, let wisdom lead. This is the way to truly succeed.
Reflect to succeed.